Well, let's share the word of the Lord with you this morning. I want to, I've titled this Living Right in a Wrong World. Living Right in a Wrong World. How many knows our world is kind of upside down? As we were flying over Israel, what day was that? Tuesday night, I guess it was. Tuesday, or Wednesday morning. We were flying over Israel, and I thought, there's so many rockets and so many bombs going off in the air, these cluster bombs, and you know, it did cross my mind. Well, what if we happen to be a victim of one of those bombs? And I thought, well, you know what? Praise the Lord, we'll be in heaven. We won't suffer. We won't be in the hospital room. We won't have to be crippled all of our life. We just say, thank you, God. We're in the presence of the Lord. And but I'm telling you what, this world is chaotic. We're in a crazy, crazy world. Everything seems to be upside down. And I hope this doesn't make you mad back there, but I have to set this up here so I can get to it. Psalms 24, verse 1. You can follow behind me if you'd like. The earth is whose? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell within. Could we say that the earth is the Lord's, the people that are the Lord's, and everything that's in the earth belongs to God? Can I hear an amen? Amen. And sometimes we have a tendency to want to normalize what God calls wrong. But I'm telling you, believers, we are still called to be different. We're called to be unique. We're called to stand out. I didn't say you're called to be weird. I used to think that scripture in Peter that said you're a peculiar people, you know, meant that we're supposed to be really weird looking people, you know, like but peculiar is not weird. In fact, in the Peter, it means handpicked, chosen. We're a peculiar. But I believe that we're to be living unique lives because God called us to live a particular way. And we know that people cannot live right if they're not taught right. If they're not getting the truth, how are they going to know what the truth is? So if churches aren't preaching the truth, you know, you can't blame people for what they believe. And I know everybody has a Bible, and they can read their own Bible. But the bottom line is we all need to be open to learning because there's a whole lot more to learn out there, isn't there? And so God expects us to be faithful in our everyday life, our everyday living. He wants us to walk in truth. He wants us to resist deception, and he wants us to stay faithful and not be pulled away every time the enemy dangles a lure in front of us. Amen? And so the book of Titus teaches us to reject ungodliness, worldly lust, while trying to pursue a sober and righteous life. The Bible teaches us that we need to live with hope. It's a hope that keeps us steady in the middle of all this chaos that's going on. All you have to do is watch the news from what happened last night, and you realize chaos is everywhere. But God doesn't want us to focus on the chaos. Amen. We need to focus on him. And the Bible's, we need to remember this verse in Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. A little different translation there. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 today. Genesis 1, 26. We're going to visit this for just a few minutes, and then we'll jump around a while. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Now, when God created the world, we're going all the way back to the beginning. When God created the world, basically, Adam had the lease on this world. God created this world, but he gave to Adam the authority to dominate, the authority to take dominion, the authority to lead this world, and he gave mankind dominion, not ownership, because the earth is the Lord's, but he gave mankind the dominion. Can I hear an amen? He didn't give us the earth. He did give us dominion over the earth. In other words, he let us use his house, his creation, the earth. It belongs to God. He loaned it to us, and sometimes we even forget that sometimes, that because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's. Well, so are you. You are the Lord's. Hello? And everyone that dwelleth therein. So we belong to God. Some people just haven't discovered that yet. Now, would you go with me to Luke chapter 12? We're going to tie this together. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 19. I'm reading from the King James Version this morning on that particular passage. Luke 12, verse 16 through 19. Luke 12, 16 through 19. As I read this today, and as you read it, I want you to look at all of the personal pronouns that this man uses in this parable. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will, then I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou soul hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink and be merry. Did you notice all those personal pronouns? I don't know how many you counted, but I think I counted about 16 of them. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. My house, my property, my barns, my money. It all belongs to me. And he was taking all the glory and all the credit. And he was kind of patting himself on the back, wasn't he, for all of his successful endeavors. But now let's continue to look on. Verse 20. But the Lord said unto him, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The Message translation says that what happens when you fill you, that's what happens when you fill your barns with self and not with God. I think it's time we, at Solid Rock and those listening online, that we begin to understand that it's nothing is ours anyway. It all belongs to God. Well, I worked for it. Well, who gave you the strength to work? Well, I exercised. Well, who gave you the brains to exercise, or who gave you the wisdom to do the job that you do? The sooner that we learn that it all comes from God, the quicker we will learn that God won't call us that fool someday. It's all because of him. We are who we are, what we are, do what we do by the grace of God. Shout amen. Amen. So we need to learn to say Jesus Christ is the boss. He is, we say he's Lord of all. That simply means he is the boss. You know what that means? It means he owns me. Amen. A lot of people say, well, I want Jesus to be my savior. I want Jesus to save me. What they're saying is, I don't want to go to hell. So save me, Lord. I don't want to commit my life to you. I don't want to live for you. I just don't want to go to hell. People feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in a service. Then they come to the altar to give their lives to Jesus because the conviction and the love of God is drawing them. But then they give their hearts to Jesus and they go right back out living the exact same way. If there's no transformation, honey, there is no change. If there's no change, something's wrong. Jesus is into transforming lives. Not just giving you a fire escape ticket to heaven. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. And so Jesus is my Lord. I submit to him. Jesus is my boss. I serve under him. Jesus is my shepherd. I follow him. He is my life. I live my life through him. But many people will never have any intention of changing their lifestyle. If I sound a little old-fashioned this morning, Forgive me, but I believe the Bible might be just a contemporary, old-fashioned book. It still speaks to us today. When we come to church on Sundays, we ought to come in with the attention or the intention that I am going to change. Something today is going to touch my heart and I'm going to change. I'm going to get a little closer to God than I was yesterday. You know what? It's not just all about getting knowledge. I want to go to a church that teaches the word and teaches me. I had one guy tell me one time, actually told my wife this, been coming to church here almost all their life, but when they left, they went to another church, came back in a month and says, Sister Rhodes, I learned more at that church in 1 month than I learned in this church all those years. Knowledge is good, but how many knows knowledge puffs up? Hello? Knowledge puffs you up into pride. There's nothing wrong with having knowledge, but you got to understand, just coming to hear knowledge, it's more than knowledge. We're here for transformation. Lord, change me. Create in me a heart to be after the image of you, Lord. Amen. Is this okay? Amen. So we began our relationship with God, with the Lord, by first of all, completely submitting to him. We submit our life to him. So the Lord asked, are we going to follow him? If we are we going to do what he says to do? Did not he say, don't call me Lord and not do the things that I do? Y'all looking so pretty and smiling out there this morning. That's a faith statement. Now, when Adam sinned, how many knows he gave away the lease that God gave him on this earth? I can say it like this. He subleased it to Satan. He subleased it to the enemy. He completely gave away what God had given him. He gave away his dominion. He gave away his authority. He gave away his rights. He gave it all away to Satan as he gave it away. I'll back that up with 2 Corinthians 4. Listen to this. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the, notice that next phrase, the God of this world. Do y'all see that this morning? In whom the God of this world. Do you know who made him the God of this world? Brother Adam. And buddy, when I get to heaven, the first person I want to meet is Brother Adam. I want to say, why did you do such a foolish thing? But anyway, Adam subleased it to Satan. And now the Bible even says that God, Satan is the god of this world. Who crowned him the god of this world? It was Adam. Somebody says, well, that's not really what the Bible means. Let me back it up with another scripture. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted on the Mount of Temptation? He had fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungered. And the Bible says Jesus took him up into and showed him all the regions of the world. Where's that at? Luke chapter 4. It's in Luke chapter 4. In verse 5. Now remember, this is Jesus. The devil takes Jesus into a high mountain. He showed him all the what? Kingdoms of the world. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment at time. A moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give to you and the glory of them, for it was delivered unto me. Who delivered that authority and dominion and that crown to the enemy? Adam sold out. He sold us out. He sold us out. Somebody said, no, it was the woman. How many knows that the woman was tempted and she gave in, but Adam was the authority that should have stood in his place and forbid it. Amen? That's a whole different subject. He said, I will give it to you if you will worship me and all that you have. Now, I've heard this argument, and if you want to try it with me, let me just get the first word in. Somebody said, well, he's the author, he's the liar, he's the father of all lies, and that was a lie. He was lying to Jesus when he said that. No, he wasn't. He was telling the truth. The devil did tell the truth that time. I will give you the kingdoms of the world because it's been delivered unto me. Well, how do you know it was a lie? Because the Bible said that Jesus was tempted. It would not have been a temptation had not Jesus thought about it. Are you hearing me? It had to be a lure in front of him to get his attention. In order to, if the devil was lying, Jesus would have known it's just a lie. There's no temptation there. But it was the truth. It was delivered unto him. Jesus was tempted. Mike, where are you at? Brother Mike, I saw you earlier. Are you still here? There he is, way back over there. Brother Mike, if I told you that I would give you $1 million to run around this auditorium 10 times, I would think that may not be a temptation to you, because you know I wouldn't be able to back it up, right? I don't know, maybe you think I'm a millionaire, but just for everybody's sake, I'm not. But there's no temptation in... There's no way he's going to run around, yield to that, right? But what if I were Donald Trump and I stood up here and I said, Mike, I will give you $100 to, or $1 million to run around this building 10 times. You would probably be, there might be a temptation to do it then, right? That might be a temptation. Satan was not lying. It was. The kingdoms of this world was delivered unto him. Adam transferred his authority, his power, and he put himself and the whole human race under the dominion of Satan. But I'm so glad the story doesn't stop there. I'm so glad that's not the end. Because how many knows there's a New Testament? It's chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Adam drug the whole human race, the whole universe, under the power of Satan. The whole creation, not just male and female, women and men, not just people, the whole creation, all of the animals, all of the trees, all of the rocks and mountains and everything within this earth, the whole creation waits breathless with anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. When I saw that, that jumped out at me like, where have I been all my life? The whole creation is waiting for the manna. The creation is waiting for you to act like a son of God. This creation is waiting for you to act like a daughter of God. God, the whole creation is yearning for the manifestation, the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. Creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the choice of one who subjected it. But in the hope, listen, that the creation itself will be set free from slavery to and decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now. In other words, the creation is eagerly awaiting for sons and daughters to be revealed. Can I say it like this? Waiting for us to be what God called us to be. Woo! I felt that. Gravity almost took over on that one. That was not the Holy Spirit. This whole creation is screaming, I'm tired of being dominated by death. I'm tired of being dominated by sickness. I'm tired of being dominated by poverty. I'm tired of the enemy walking all over us. The creation is yearning and yelling, and God didn't create this world to be dominated by death and suffering and disease. Amen. It was not, it never entered into this world until Adam gave it all away to Satan in that one act of treason. We were born into sin and slavery and darkness. Can I hear an amen this morning? That's not the end of the story. Somebody, amen, that's not the end of the story. The Bible says the whole earth is groaning, crying out. Creation is waiting. They're not waiting on God. They're waiting on us. They're waiting on us to be manifest children, sons, and daughters of God. That word, the phrase waiting with anticipation, it suggests a leaning forward. Leaning forward on your tiptoes, stretching out to see, to get. You can't wait to get there. You can't wait to see them. You want to be higher than everybody else so you can see. That's what creation is waiting for. Wouldn't it be great if sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty would begin to act like sons and daughters of God Almighty instead of worms? Somebody said, well, I'm just a worm. I'm just a nobody. I'm so unworthy. I don't deserve. Well, then you need a revelation of the blood of Jesus. We need a revelation of what the Lord is. We need a New Testament revelation of what God's done for us. I can say it like this. The whole earth, they're not waiting for another sermon. They're not waiting for a revival or another move of God. They're waiting for sons and daughters to be manifest, to become who God called you to be. I'll take one more amen. God did not choose corruption. We were dragged into it by the fall of man. How many know a lot of children suffer because of their parents' mistakes? Think about it. Think about how many children they are where they are today because of their parents' decisions, good or bad. I think about Mephibosheth, who was crippled all of his life. Saul's grandson, cared for by a nurse, found out David's army was coming and picked him up and ran and fell. And when she fell, he was, I don't know if he was paralyzed, but the Bible says he was crippled, never could walk on his own. He was crippled from that time as just a young baby. It was nothing he did. It was no fault of his own, but somebody dropped him. Somebody dropped him. Amen? I'm telling you, when we look around the earth today and we see the disease, the chaos, the war, the storms, the disease, the decay that's just everywhere we look today, it's not random. It's evidence of a world that's not aligned with God and His Word and God's original intention. And it's going to take sons and daughters of God, rising up in your rightful place, knowing who you are in Christ. Amen? This whole creation's off balance right now, isn't it? Everything's off balance because of sin, because of Adam's transgression. But that's not the end of the story. Amen? Now, the Bible says that creation is groaning. Now, listen, it's not the groan of death. Hear me this morning. The scripture says the whole earth is groaning. All of creation is groaning. But here's what I like to interpret that as. And you can say I'm wrong if you want to, and that's all right. I might be, but I kind of look at it like this. The earth, we're not groaning because the whole creation is not groaning because of death, but we're groaning because there's about to be a birth. There's about to be a move of God. The whole earth is waiting for a move of God. You know what groaning is? It's expectation under pressure. Let me use a woman in labor, for example. They tell me it's painful. It's probably not. They probably made this up years ago. So women just, they like to milk this thing, you know. There's probably no pain in childbirth or labor or it's intense stuff, you know, but do you know that every contraction is proof that a birth is about to take place? It's painful. It hurts. It's gruesome. It is so painful. I thank God I'm not a woman. I thank God I will never have a baby. But the contractions are indicative that something new is about to be born. Something new is about to happen. Listen, you're not about to become a son or daughter of God. You are a son and daughter of God. The creation is waiting for us to live like it. Rise up, men and women of God. Rise up and be what God's called us to be. God never called us to be pew warmers. God told us to put our hand to the plow. Dig in and don't look back. You don't become a son. You don't become more of a son if you're perfect. Because people are waiting to be perfect before they want to manifest themselves as sons and daughters of God. Listen, we are sons and daughters of God right now. Being perfect or not perfect has nothing to do with, well, it does. You'll never be a son or daughter of God if you're perfect, because nobody's perfect. So stop waiting to manifest what God has done in our lives until you got all your ducks in a row. Because listen, there'll never be a day you get all your ducks in a row. Amen? Something is trying to be revealed. Something's moving on the inside. I believe we're about to give birth. Now, I don't know how you feel, but Darlene and I feel after what God gave us in December and the 1st of January for this year, I feel like something's about to be birthed on the inside of us. There's a moving, there's a changing, there's an excitement that there's a change coming. Are we on live today? Are we on stream? There's an opening coming into our district, the Pentecost Church of God, in October. Brother and Sister McGee are retiring. And when I say change is coming, there's going to be a change in the offices at the district level. As you know, I am the district presbyter for the state of Missouri, and I had been approached about it, becoming a bishop for the Missouri district, and immediately I said no. They said, "Would you pray about it?" I said, "No." "Would you at least think about it?" I said, "No." So when I say there's a change coming, I'm not talking about me leaving Solid Rock and taking some kind of a district position. And Bishop, I know you listen, because you and Sister Bishop listen every week. I'm not interested in your job. I just want you to know that God is wanting to do something, and I feel like there's something new coming, but it's happening right here in our ministry. But it's not just in our ministry. God is wanting to do something in the overall body of Christ. Amen. So can I just encourage you a little bit? Step into your destiny. Step into your authority. Begin to exercise the rights that God gave you. God gave them to Adam, and Jesus Christ bought them back. We're no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer a slave to Satan. We're no longer dogs, but we're the son and daughters of Almighty God. We have a right to expect healing. We have a right to expect to be blessed. I have a right that everything I touch prospers. I have a right to believe that my bills are paid in advance and I have finances left over. Darlene and I give thousands of dollars to this ministry every year. I have a right to expect a harvest. Amen. Listen, church, I don't have to suffer with sickness and disease and pain. And if I'm going through it, I'll go through it. But I'm not going to camp out there. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's time that the sons and daughters rise up and exercise those spiritual rights that God's given us through Jesus Christ. Let's not waste the blood of Jesus. Let's not waste the cross of Calvary. Thank you, God, for breakthrough. Whew. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to skip some of this morning. I heard Lou let you out at 11:30 last week. Is that true? 11:30? Well, I'm not doing it because it's already 11:35. Now, we are living in the last days. And I know we can tie this scripture that I just read to the last days. It can be a dual reference. It can be tied to the last days. And probably if I wanted to be more doctrinally correct, it is probably more tied to the time that we get in the presence of God. But we can also receive from that the whole creation is yearning for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. And I'm just taking that little portion right there and saying, you know what? I believe God's speaking to Solid Rock and saying, be who God called you to be. Do what he's called you to do. Rise up, not in your strength. Let the glory of God come upon you and use you the way he wants to use you. You say, well, I don't have no Bible education. Well, so what? Well, I don't even have a college yet. So what? I didn't even finish high school. So what? Can you read the Bible? Darlene's dad could not read until he prayed and asked God to help him read, and he learned to read the Bible. He learned to read by reading the Bible. Was third grade education? In the old days. Okay, so the end is not here yet. So we need to rise up stronger than we've ever been, because I'm going to tell you something. Y'all going to love me for this one. Things are going to get worse. Still love me? Things are going to get worse. I said things, not us. Things are going to get worse. How many is going to stay strong with me during the times that things get worse? It's important that we keep our nose in the Word of God. It's important that we stay humbled before God and seek His face. It's important that we cry out to God in prayer and fellowship and communion. Matthew 24 says, while Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came and privately and said, tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming? Am I hard to understand? Everything is dry. I don't need a drink. I need a swish. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus said, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many people. You will hear about wars and rumors and reports of wars. Do not be alarmed. All these things must happen, and the end is not yet. Nations will rise again. Have you ever seen such a time when nations are rising against nations and kingdoms are fighting wars against each other? Earthquakes like never before. More than ever before. But these signs, these are all just signs of the beginning. Brother Rhodes, do you think we'll have to go through these things? I believe we're going to go through some of this stuff. Yes, I do. I believe there's going to be things that we go through. You know, it's just not because we're Americans that we get out of it. There's going to be some things we go through. In fact, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Jesus said these are the beginning of sufferings that are associated with the end. But I think he said also look up, because your redemption's drawing close. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4. Don't be naive. What translation is that? This is the message, okay? I couldn't remember. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money hungry, self-promoting, stuck up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, promoting, no, I said that one, didn't I? Dog eat dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsive, wild, savage, cynical. I wonder if there's any more words we could add. I mean, that's about everything, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Treacherous, ruthless, bloated, windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. Woo! I mean, that about covers everything, doesn't it? Again, I want us to go back and think about that woman that's expecting the labor pains. The closer she gets to delivery, the more the body starts sending the signals that it could be closer and closer. Yeah, I mean, those, when your wife is in there and she's suffering and she's about, you can't say, whoa, time out. I don't think I want to have a baby. Time. Let's put this thing on hold. I need to think about this, honey. You should have thought about that when, right? Because when the baby comes, there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's going to happen. Listen, these things are going to happen. But thank God we have been redeemed. Woo! I got to go back and read Romans 8 one more time. 23. All around us, we are observing a pregnant condition. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing within us. We're also feeling the birth pangs. We're feeling the birth pains. We're feeling something's going on. I feel in my spirit something's about to happen. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That's why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, do not see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful is our expectancy. Somebody let the church shout amen. You see, even as we're waiting for the coming of the Lord, instead of belly aching about how bad everything's going to be, am I going through the tribulation? Am I going all the way or halfway or not at all? It don't matter. I tell you what matters is, can you stand strong in trials? Can you stand strong in the test? We got all kinds of opinions and beliefs at Solid Rock. It's all right. You can believe what you want. But I think the main thing is, can you stay strong while things are falling apart? Listen, if you can't stay strong in these times, you'll never stay strong in times of tribulation. Somebody didn't shake my hand. Well, bless your puny heart. You know, you really got a right to be upset. I ain't come back church, nobody. I ain't come back Solid Rock. Nobody's talked to me in 2 weeks. If that upsets you, you don't stand a chance when things get worse and worse and worse. Thank God we do have a down payment called the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. No, we don't have it all yet. We've just got the down payment, but the best is yet to come. Is this okay today? You know, when we were younger, we were super strong, super healthy. Isn't it amazing how, what's the word I'm looking for? There's certain young people that just feel like they're going to live forever. There's nothing they can do to hurt themselves. What's that word I'm looking for? Invincible. They think they're invincible. Young people, I'm going to live forever. I'm only 19 years old. I got a whole life ahead of me. I'm going to tell you something. That zooms by so fast. But how many of us, when we were younger, thought we could do anything? Hey, when I was younger, I could eat a cheeseburger and not worry about cholesterol. When I was younger, I didn't worry about fat. I didn't worry about gaining a pound. You could eat desserts all day long, right? You could eat desserts all day long and don't even think, is my metabolism going to work today? How many of those things have changed? My, how things have changed. I still think I can. My wife thinks I can't. I have 3 bicycles in my garage. 3 bicycles with tags on them, because the church, you all bought me 2 of them. The children's church bought Darlene and I a bicycle. Still got tags on them. I said, Darlene, let's take those bikes out and let's drive to Farmington. Let's run to Farmington real quick on those bikes. It's only 3 miles to the city limit sign. She said, honey, you can't ride down the driveway and back without passing out. She did. Do y'all? Now, how many knows in my mind, I think I can make it to the city limits. Now, I'll have my cell phone so she can come and pick me up. But I remember one time I had an associate working for us at the church, and his name was Phil Wheelahan. And he said, do you like to ride bikes? I said, oh, I love to ride bikes. He said, would you like to go bike riding someday? And I said, yeah, let's go. So we had a day off, and he worked here at the church. And he said, let's go bike riding. I said, yeah, man, I'm ready to go. I put on my shorts. I put on those real tight things, you know, and I had all the gear. I even went and bought a comfortable seat with camel hair. No, lamb hair, lamb skin. And I got me a water bottle. He even bought me a water bottle. Slide down in that little thing there, you know, in the bar, and I was ready to go. And he come by the house, and we took off. I got up the road. I went up Hillsboro Road, probably about 2 blocks up Hillsboro Road. It was before we got to O'Bannon. And I said, Phil, wait just a minute. I'm about to pass out. Please stop. And he said, Pastor, just stop, get off the bike, and lay down in the ditch for a while. And I felt like I was laying in the ditch. How many knows your mind thinks you can do things that you just ain't ready to do yet? That's no kidding. I was laying in the ditch. He said, do you want to go home? I said, no, I can do this. We used to play softball here at the church. We had a softball league, and I loved to pitch. Back then, I was a pretty good hitter. I could hit at least, and I could run around the bases and not even think about it. I can't even get to first base without an oxygen tank now. Last time we played softball, Luke was out there. We played back here in the field. And Luke would just knock it out of sight. He's a young man, you know, probably in his early 20s. He'd knock it out of sight. I'd get up there. I couldn't even hardly swing the bat. But in our mind, we think we can. I can do it just like I used to do it. I still think I can ride a bike to the city limits. You might want to follow me in the car. How many knows when you're young, you can eat a cheeseburger at midnight and call it a snack, right? Now I just look at a cheeseburger and I gain 3 pounds. I used to run for fun, but now I get winded just bending over and tying my shoes. When you were young, you'd bounce back overnight. Now you sleep wrong and you need 2 days to recovery and a heating pad. I used to pray for big things, but now I pray, Lord, help my knees. When you get older, your body begins to break down. Do you ever notice how some people, the older they get, it seems like they start shrinking? I've told my wife, I said, honey, don't ever, ever let me walk humped over. I said, I don't care if I'm preaching, tell me, straighten up, because I don't want, it's so easy to get into that habit of bending over. And sometimes people get, they actually get shorter. The older they get shorter. And you reach a certain age, not as tall as they used to be. But there's other things I've noticed too since I've grown older. How many knows that since you've grown older, hair grows in your nose? It does. It's growing out of control. Because your nose wants you to think that if a bug crawls up there, it could eat your brains out. And so it puts hair in there to keep the bugs from growing up in there. I never got a nose trimmer or an ear trimmer for Christmas till I got old. It's crazy how things grow and show up when you... Tiffany, remember the ear? The ear? What I'm saying is we begin to see the effects of decay the older we get. You know what that's called? It's called living under the curse of the earth. It's living under the curse. We are getting older. Look at somebody and say, you're getting more beautiful the older you get. Here you go. I got a couple of these for you. You remember, you know you're getting old when you remember when the youth group was you. You remember, you know you're getting old when your back goes out more than you do. You know you're getting older when your idea of a wild night is staying up past 9:30. Or the music you love is now called classics. Anybody like the 50s music besides me? No. Nobody in here is old enough except me and Becky and Brother Sue. You know you're getting old when you start every sentence with, back in my day. I've got faith to move mountains, but I need help moving out of this chair. Well, Matthew 8. I'm telling you, the scripture makes it very clear that there is a set time. And I believe God is going to be a mighty move of God. There's going to be another great awakening. There's going to be a move of God. I'm seeing the little bit of the ripple effect beginning right now to take place around the world. We're about to see a mighty move of God. In Matthew chapter 8, let's read. I was going to paraphrase, but let's read it. Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake at the gatherings, verse 28, two men were demon-possessed. They came from among the tombs to meet him. They were so violent that nobody could travel on that road. They cried out, "What are you doing here? What are you going to do with us, Son of God? Have you come to torture us before the time of judgment, before the proper time?" Did you notice here that even the demons know? You see that? Even the demons know there's a time. There's a time. What are you doing here? Have you come to torture us? Don't you know? What they were saying was, Jesus, don't you know that your creation, Adam, sold out this earth to us? Oh, by the way, did you know they also recognized him as the Son of God? You're the Son of God. How do you know? Because I was in heaven one time before I got kicked out. I knew you in heaven. But we rebelled with Lucifer and we fell from the earth and now we're roaming the earth. And they say, Son of God, what are you going to do with us, Son of God? They saw him as the Son of God. Now listen, they didn't see him as the Son of Man. They saw him as the Son of God. And so, have you come to torture us before our time, the set time? Before the proper time, notice that they knew him, they remembered him, and understand this. What are you doing here? You weren't born here. How can you be a part of mankind when you are God? They couldn't comprehend all God, all man. They couldn't put it together. Do you know in 88 times in the scripture, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. And it's very important that we understand this. He came to operate in this earth, not as God, but as man. I almost preached the message that I preached here probably back in 2015. I just didn't get the unction to do it. But the Bible teaches that for every unclean, there has to be an unclean sacrifice to redeem it. When a donkey was born, if it was the firstborn, it had to be killed. It had to be redeemed for the rest. And I won't go into all that today. But Jesus didn't come as the Son of God to this earth. He came as the Son of Man. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, everything that Jesus did upon this earth, he operated as the Son of Man. If he did it as the Son of God, then we would have no right to expect to be able to do the same work that he did. I hope I'm not losing anybody there. He is all God, yes, but he's also all man. He had a right to be here, and he was demonstrating to us how that we have authority over demons and devils as children born in this earth, but born unto God. Are you a child of your mother and father? Huh? Are you a child of your mother and father? Are you a child of God? So understand, when Jesus, when they called him Son of God, they were saying, you're operating illegally in this earth. But he did come legal because he came through a woman, a virgin. all man, all God. The hypostatic union. Amen? He was born here. Jesus was not an intruder. Satan was the intruder. He entered the garden. And how many knows he sold Eve a bill of rights? Adam was there with her when she took the fruit. And he ate also, right? So he was the intruder. And what Satan or what these demons was trying to do was to accuse Jesus when they called him Son of God. They were calling him an intruder. You have no right to be here. You can't do these things legally on the earth. But I'm telling you what, that's why Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me. Now I give unto you, and you go, and you make disciples, and you cast out devils, and you heal the sick. You do the works that I did. John says, Jesus said in the book of John, the works that I do, you shall do also. Why aren't we doing them? Because we don't know who we are. We think we're imperfect. We are imperfect. We think we're not eligible. Oh, no. Your works don't make you eligible. It's Jesus Christ that makes us eligible. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I might have seemed all over the place, but I tried to stay focused, but sometimes I get a little excited. Father, we thank you for the word. Father, I pray for peace where there may be confusion. I pray, God, that your word gives light and that you will bring revelation, that we didn't bring confusion, but there was light on your word today. Thank you for divine revelation, illumination of your word. And Lord, I want to say thank you for speaking to us today. God, I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just a person called and anointed of God to preach, and I thank you, Lord, for using me today. But God, more important than that is that we've heard the word, we receive the word, and we walk out of this place determined to walk and act and demonstrate to the world that we are sons and daughters of God. Not when we get to heaven, Lord. Not someday in the sweet by and by, but today, right now. Because we're born again. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God. God, you've given us authority. You've given us rights. You've given us privileges. May we go forth and demonstrate the works of Jesus at our workplace. God, may we be so sensitive that if we're out in public and we're drawn to somebody that may be hurting, that we'll be quick to go say, can I pray for you? Help us, Lord, to be quick to be used by the Spirit of God. May we stop looking for a sign. And may we start giving the word and watch the signs follow. So, Father, we praise you and thank you for this word of the day. Thank you for your word. Plant it deep in our hearts. May we rise up as the sons and the daughters of God to do the will of God and the work of God in this earth till Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. Did you get anything out of that today? Did you get anything out of that?